Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. And grab a pen and a piece of paper because in a few minutes I'm going to give you two phone numbers, both of which you can call on tonight. This is a call-in show. It's an uninterrupted one-hour session, and this evening we get to spend it with Allie Theis. Welcome, Allie.
Hi, Elaine.
Allie was with us a couple of months ago, so she's not a stranger to our listeners, but tonight we're going to talk about the magic hour. And the reason why is because she is all about gypsy magic. She is an internationally renowned personal intuitive advisor, author, columnist, podcaster. She's a descendant of the Rome Gypsies of Transylvania, which I just find fascinating, absolutely fascinating. She does readings, workshops, classes, and coaching. She propels people to empower themselves to successfully transform their lives. And you know, that's a catch sentence we hear a lot these days, but this lady does it, folks. You just do so much. How do you find time to do it all?
I don't have a personal life.
You don't have a personal life. Well, that's no fair.
Not really.
That's no fair. Well, this is magic hour. So first of all, tell me, what is magic? What is your magic?
What is my magic? Well, simply, it's just the transformation of energy, shifting it to a conclusion that will be helpful to you.
How do we do that? How do we change that? How do we transform that energy?
Well, it's very simple. It's called intent.
Intent.
You've heard about the course, everyone has, the law of attraction and what have you. And to make the law of attraction work, obviously, you have to watch how you think and be very intent on your outcome, be very focused on your outcome. And that's what you have to do with magic. You have to sit down, figure out what it is you want, what is the ultimate result you want from your magic, and then focus your energy on making that happen. Between, you can be using words in a spell, candles, herbs, oils, whatever helps you make that energy focused.
What is the line between doing magic for yourself and not manipulating someone else's life or interfering with somebody else's life? Because I ask that because so many people in the general population, you say the word magic and they automatically think of this person standing over a cauldron brewing up something that's going to hurt somebody.
Well, you know, like everything in life, you've got the good, you've got the bad. That's the way the universe is formed. You've got both sides of every coin. And you know, magic's no different. You have the good people who do magic to help themselves with the intent of not causing harm to anybody or not overpowering anybody or making someone do something against their will. And then you have the other side of the coin where people try to control somebody else. But those people who try to control a human, an energy, even an animal, the karma will come back to get them. It always does.
Would it be logical to say that that's the difference between white magic and black magic?
That's
manipulation?
Yeah, manipulation.
That's the key word there.
Yes, very
much
so. And what I try to teach people is never to, as I say, go over to the dark side.
That's a good way to put that.
I've watched too many Star Wars in my lifetime.
I'm with you there. No. Is there anything special that one should do when you're preparing to do magic? And when you're preparing to do magic, your intent is first. So we're going to bring in love and money and health and...
Oh, that's correct. And it's also great if you not only prepare your intent for whatever your outcome is to be, but also prepare your energy, and I like to prepare the space around in the physical body. And the way you can prepare your physical body is to take a bath or a shower before you perform the magic. As you know, energy attracts energy, and as you're going about your day, you're attracting not only the good around you, but also the negative. So it's always fantastic to jump in the shower and kind of wash it away. It's also good if you don't drink any caffeine or alcohol, at least an hour prior to the magic, because both substances tend to interfere with the focus. Either you're too hyped up or you're too kind of mellow and you're just it messes the focus up. It's also good to wear some comfortable clothes. Some people like to meditate beforehand. I'm not much of a meditator. Would that be right?
That works.
I don't know if that's right or not, but it sounds right to me.
I don't know whether it is either, but we all know what you mean.
I allow myself to daydream 5-10 minutes before I perform any magic, and in the daydream, I allow myself to be living the life I would be living when the magic transforms whatever it is I need it to transform. And that kind of chills my energy out and erases away whatever's happened during the day and just makes everything, you know, nice and calm. Now, if to prepare your space, because it's important to have, you know, decent energy in wherever you're going to perform magic. Excuse me. It's great to make sure that the room is clean. It's good if you can dust and vacuum. Or if you don't want to dust and vacuum, at least, you know, pick up the clutter. You don't want to have, you know, your toast from last night sidding, you know, in the area. At least tidy up a little bit. Throw away any junk mail. Throw away anything from an ex. excuse me. Before I would do magic, I would make sure that nothing from my ex-husband would be sitting out. I'd make sure I'd put that away or throw it away if I didn't need it anymore. That would just bring negativity into it. If the weather's permitting, it's always good to open up a window to let the energy circulate. And I always like to tell people to burn frankincense. Frankincense is a fantastic herb that dispels any negativity that you may have brought into your space, and it also helps to uplift the vibrational level. So, and, of course, turn off the computer and the phone.
Catch your breath. Let me give those two phone numbers out. United States and Canada, you share a phone number, and that phone number is 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, that meaning any place other than the United States and Canada, your number is 877-489-6350. We invite you, both of us, this evening to call in, ask questions, enter the discussion, argue with us, whatever you would like to do. United States and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. My guest tonight is Ali Thies. We're talking about magic. Now that I have you catching your breath, what books on magic have you written? I know you've written some.
Yes, I have. It's the Gypsy Magic for the Soul series, and there are 4 books. One covers love, another one prosperity and abundance. The third one is family and health, and the last one is dreams, your divine helpers, you know, archangels, guides of the elementals, and also astral travel. So it's 4 different books and cover 4 different areas.
When you decided to write these books, what did you base them on?
The basis of all of the spells, oils, incense, and statutes that I have in the books are on my grandmother's recipes.
So family truly has entered it down.
Oh, definitely. And I've taken the basis of what my grandmother told to me, and I've intertwined it with the different magic I've done for clients over the years. I no longer do magic for clients, but when I did, I kept everything that seemed that worked, and I used that in the books too.
Do you find any difference between... Well, it would be, this is not a fair question to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, my mom used to say that, for example, the corn that she would put on the table didn't taste as good as the corn that she had as a kid. So when you're mixing your oils and things, do you think the oils and herbs and things today are just as good as they were, say, 100 years ago?
Yeah.
Did anybody ever say anything about the difference?
To be honestly, it depends where I get them from. If I go to, if I buy them from an organic farmer, then they are just as good as they were 100 years ago. But if I don't, then the chemicals of whatever was used to keep the bugs away and the fertilizer gets into the herbs or gets into the oils. So I'm very careful who I purchase stuff from. And a lot of the herbs I grow on my own. Of course, my cats have eaten. A whole bunch of them. But,
what's your most prominent herb that you use in the most?
Oh, see, that would depend. I guess the most prominent would be lavender. Lavender's a wonderful herb, whether you're using it for magic to draw love to you, or to help with health. also, you know, it lifts vibrations. It brings friends to you. It brings love to you. It helps you sleep. If you have trouble sleeping.
I love lavender.
Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful herb. Lavender and actually mugwort. Mugwort is the other one. And I use that a lot for astral travel or for dreams, telepathic connections. So between the two of them, I guess I have a large stash.
If you can't grow your own, are there really good, dependable, natural growers that people could order from on the internet that you know of?
I get a lot of herbs. I was getting from the Magical Cat, which is a
I like that name.
Yeah, I like the name too. Which is a New Age store online. And the herbs I've gotten from her seem to be of good quality. I don't know 100% if they're organic, but the herbs I've gotten from her always have a good vibration about them. And the oils, the Flower Essence Society, they obviously primarily do flower essence, but they also have a line of organic essential oils.
Flower Essence Society?
The Flower Essence Society, yes. FES. And they have a wonderful line of organic essential oils that I use.
Okay. So if you can't grow your own, these are the best places to go.
Yes, and well, with essential oils, it takes a lot of work to make essential oils. So I would recommend at least, you know, getting the oils from somebody else.
Going back to your books, when you put your knowledge in books, did you get in trouble for telling family secrets, or did they encourage you?
Well, believe it or not, I wasn't even supposed to know what I know from my grandmother. When my family came over from Transylvania and from Germany, they were taught to be as American as possible. So they were supposed to drop all the old ways, completely shove them under the carpet. And when I started to discover my upbringing when I was little, I would ask my grandmother all these questions. And she'd pull me aside, and she'd whisper stuff about, you know, what she did and what she knew. And my father would come in and say, don't tell her stuff like that. She's not supposed to know that. So Grandma and I, we'd go for one of our walks. And when we were on one of our walks, she'd tell me stuff. And I'd ask her question after question. And then when we would drive home, because she lived in Pennsylvania, we were in Ohio. It was an hour and 15 minutes between places. I'd grab my paper, and I'd write stuff down real fast because nowhere was it written down. The Gypsy Society as a whole is an oral society. Nothing's ever written. It's just told person to person, usually passed down by families, within a family. So I knew when I was little that I had to get this down somehow because nobody else would know it if I couldn't remember it. I knew my grandmother wasn't going to last forever, so... And my father didn't realize I had all this information until I was much, much older. And I believe we got into a fight about a boy.
Oh.
that was a constant fight for some reason in my household with me. And I blurted something out about it. I can't remember what it exactly it was. And I thought he was going to have a coronary right in front of me. But he didn't, thankfully.
When you used the word meditate a while ago, I immediately went to prayer and then skipped over to intent. What do you think the difference is between putting out that, let's say you're a really religious person and you're putting out that intent in prayer form and you get a group of people that help you pray? What's the difference between that and sitting down with oils and herbs and candles and doing that kind of intent?
Nothing.
It's the same.
Just the wording. One's a prayer, one's a spell.
Describe spell for folks out there who may still have an archaic idea of what a spell is.
A spell, all it is it can be just words, or it can be words with a combination of candles, herbs, oils, stones. And between the words and the ingredients you put into the spell, what it's supposed to do is focus your intent on whatever it is you want to change. And once you put that intent out there, then things start to shift. And I want to mention a big thing about doing magic. If you're doing it, don't tell everybody you did it. So if you did a spell, say, for win the lottery, you don't want to tell everybody in the office pool you did a spell for the lottery, because as soon as you do that, you invite their energy to mix with your energy. And then the intent isn't as strong anymore. It's not as focused.
Not as focused. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Negativity creeps in.
Oh, most
because
certainly.
Jealousy will get there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing how many people get upset or get jealous because, you know, you did a spell or did some sort of magic or you have a statute, and you didn't invite them to do it. And it's like, oh, so you want to win or... You know, you want to find that love, and you're not helping us, too.
Yeah.
And then when that attitude shows up, then that attitude mixes in with the focus, and you either get, you know, nothing the way you wanted it, or I say it's half-assed. and you would have been better off not to do anything. So
just spent your wills and spent your money.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I have to say that I have read Allie's books, and I don't want to call them simple, but they're very to the point and easy to read, and the instructions are right there, although I have to say I've not cast anything yet. Doesn't mean I won't, but I did read the books, and they're fascinating.
I have
purchased books in the past about, like, candle encyclopedia work and candle magic, and again, you know, we all know, I say we all know, you want money, you burn a green candle. Well,
right.
You go buy a green candle, but at the same time, if it doesn't have the right oils and things mixed in it, it's not going to work for you as well.
Right.
So, yeah, and some cultures have all kinds of candles for saints and all kinds of things. But that's why I say there seem to me to be a very thin line between the word magic and prayer, because a lot of those candles have prayers written on them.
It's the same thing. It just has, you know, the prayer has the religious twist to it.
If you're not doing, excuse me, if you're not casting spells for the general public anymore, may I ask why you stopped doing that?
Well, the most important thing in magic or in a spell is the person's energy who wants the spell. And no matter how good I am, my energy and my focus and my spell doings, I guess, were not as important as the person who wanted the spell done. So since that is so much more important, I wanted to teach people how to cast their own spell, since their energy is the number one most important thing in the spell.
And how do you teach others to cast a spell? Do you teach classes or do you do one-on-one?
I have two ways. I teach classes. In fact, I just finished one on how to write and cast your own magic. Everything's online via email, so it doesn't matter where you live or what time zone you're in, thankfully. And I also do empowerment coaching, which would be one-on-one. And in that, I can teach people how to be either use magic for the first time or become better spellcasters or whatever level they want to perform at. I can help them with it.
Speaking of webs and emails, let's give folks your contact information.
Sure thing.
Go for it.
it's very easy. They can get me at my website, which is gypsyadvice.com, or they can email me at Allie, Allie, at gypsyadvice.com. And last but certainly not least, you can always call me at 330-264-9977.
We'll give that phone number out several times during this hour. You are listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland and this evening, Allie Thies, on bbsradio.com. Let me give you phone numbers again because I want to hear the phones ringing out there, folks. Worldwide, that's any place except the United States and Canada. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. United States and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. Again, this is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland, and tonight, Gypsy Hour. Well, sort of.
That works. That works.
Magic Hour with Allie Thies. What book do you have under your wing right now?
Right now, I'm writing a book about OBE sex, out-of-body sex.
Out-of-body sex. Oh, how did you get there, girl?
People ask that question a lot. How in the world did you get there, a good Catholic girl like you? that's what my mother says. She was shaking her head. Although I must admit I haven't been a Catholic in years, but she still likes to call me that. When many, many years ago, when I started discovering who my soulmate is and my soul cluster, who I call to be like four or five different souls who like to incarnate together, once I started connecting to them and listening to them more, somehow between the connecting and the listening and the talking and the dream visits and the daydreams meditation, sex started getting involved. I would find myself connecting to them and it feeling like we are physically together, kissing, making out, having intercourse, the whole nine yards. And I thought, is my imagination playing tricks on me? Or is this something actually happening for real? And based on that, I started doing research with not only myself and the different people in my soul cluster. I started to blog about it, first on my blog, Allie's Two Cents, and then I created a blog called Out of Body Ecstasy. And between the two blogs, I have gotten scores upon scores of emails from people saying, hey, something like this has happened to me too, so it really is real. And from all of that, that's how I started writing the book.
And it is coming out when?
Well, if I would quit adding to it.
You can always do a series on this, Allie.
I know, but I get to a point where I think, I'm just about done. And then something really cool happens. I got to put that in there. And then once I put that in there, then I have to go back and change something else. And it just becomes a fiasco. But if I would behave myself and just get it done, it should be out by Valentine's Day.
Valentine's. Well, that's appropriate.
Yes, it is.
Will it be an e-book or will it be in hardback for us or softback for us?
Both.
Oh, good. Okay.
Both. Oh, yeah. And I'm putting it in a kind of in a book/workbook form. Because I give people exercises in the book to try and then have space for them to write down what happens. Because I think it's very important. You can't just read something, no matter what it is. In order for you to believe in it, in order for you to incorporate it into your own life, you've got to experiment with it. You've got to try it out for yourself. And most people forget once they do something, the results of whatever they did, more than half an hour later, they don't remember all the details. So that's why I'm leaving spaces for them to try these things and then hurry up and write stuff down so they have a reference to look back on.
Journal of sorts.
Yeah, once you start with this, it compounds. It keeps getting stronger and stronger. So sometimes I have to be careful what I'm thinking about as I'm driving my car.
Uh-oh. We're talking with Allie Beast this evening, the magic hour. I want to go back to magic. Your weekly podcasting, Ask Allie.
Yes.
Do you blog on magic?
In the Ask Allie podcast that I do weekly, I answer three questions from people who email me, and I also discuss the metaphysical topic of the week, and it could be anything.
Okay.
Sometimes it's magic, sometimes it's angels, sometimes it's the law of attraction. It's whatever my guides tell me to talk about. It's what I talk about for the week.
Okay. I want to go back to casting magic. At the risk of sounding a little bit trite here, let's say you wanted to, this is hard for me to ask because to me this is manipulation. You want a boyfriend back or you want a girlfriend back, or there's a thin line between that and wanting a new relationship. So if you're teaching somebody how to cast your spells, would you discourage them from trying to bring somebody back into their lives?
I would have them write their spell in a manner that the person would come back to them only if it was in the highest good for everybody.
Okay.
And if it's not in the highest good for everybody, then that person will not come back, but a new love will come in their life.
So you're covering both birds, so to speak.
Yeah, it kind of have a back door.
But, when people ask you to bring that person back to you, they don't want anybody else, and they cannot imagine anybody else being any better for them. You understand what I'm saying?
They're obsessed.
Yeah. So if they're that caught up in it, are they going to be open enough to for that spell to work for somebody new to touch their heart?
Only if they're willing to have another person come in.
Yeah, see, that's the risk. But to me, that would be the thin line.
But the way I have them word the spell, then that other person, if it's not for their highest good, that other person won't come back.
So they haven't messed with anybody's karma.
That's correct.
No control.
No.
That's what I think most people think of as magic, as being absolute control over a given situation. I can't tell you how many times in my reading career I've had people ask me, well, can't you do anything? Can't you get them back for me? Well, no, because number one, that's not what I do. I don't cast spells in my work. That's not my specialty. I wouldn't be good at it. But they're just so convinced that there is that magic potion out there that can not only get that person back, but keeps them happily, and that doesn't work.
That's another thing that doesn't work with magic is when you cast a spell or burn incense, whatever it is that you do, that you keep thinking over and over again about what you just did, that you're obsessed with it, because when you're obsessed with whatever it is, whether it be an old boyfriend, girlfriend, or you know, finding an extra $1,000 to pay your mortgage. When you're that obsessed, you don't allow the energy to do what it has to do. Because when you're obsessed with something, you keep that energy close to you. And it doesn't do anybody good but drive you crazy.
But drive you crazy, worry. Yeah.
With worry. It does. I am amazed at the amount of people who come to me and not even with magic all the time, you know, just you know, with readings. And they're just so incredibly obsessed with somebody. And I just can't understand. You know, I've done all of this. Why hasn't this person come back? And why can't I have this person? And I try to tell them, well, if you're that obsessed about them, if you're constantly thinking about them, then the energy is right close to your body. It's not going to where it's supposed to.
It can't. It's like feng shui. The energy can't flow.
Yeah, it's lost to you. It's like you're in lockdown mode.
When you start teaching someone how to write a spell, do you concentrate on poetry, which is another thing that we typically think of as in magic? Things have to rhyme.
Well, they don't necessarily have to rhyme. It's very pretty, though, if they can. I'm horrible at rhyming, I'll be honest. So most of mine.
So am I.
Most of mine don't rhyme. But the words have to have a natural flow to it. Because when you're reciting the words, you don't want to trip over what you're trying to say. So that's an important part, too. You know, you don't have to use big words or use some sort of fancy configuration, just as long as things flow and they're easy to roll off the tongue for you. Then that's the writing that needs to go into
it. So you should practice before you actually sit down with your paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Before you actually do the work itself.
I would.
How many times do you think you should cast a spell, and under what conditions?
Well, first of all, you don't ever want to cast a spell during a Mercury retrograde, which is what we're in right now. Mercury is the planet of communication, and when it's retro, it's you know, booking it backwards. And when it does that, It messes up all forms of communication, whether it be a phone call, the computers, spells, you know, signing papers. It has done so many offbeat things to people that have tried to do spells. So first off, you want to make sure you're not in Mercury retrograde. That's important. And now that I went off on that tangent, I forgot what you asked me.
Well, how often under what circumstances?
How often, you don't want to cast a spell every single day unless the spell is designed to be cast, you know, say 3 or 4 days in a row or 7 days in a row, like a lot of spells are. I personally don't write one that you have to cast so many days in a row. I believe in simplicity. I believe in, you know, casting a spell the one time and then letting it drop. Unless you feel you have to do it again, and if that's the case, I would wait a few months and then cast it again.
I'm surprised you said a few months. I would have thought you said a few days.
You have to let things start to form. And until you practice magic enough and until you get it down, you know, the first several times you do it, maybe the first few dozen, right after you do something, you're going to keep thinking about it. So a few days after you cast the spell, you're still going to be thinking too much about it, and that energy is still going to be too close to you in order to have done anything.
So when you're casting the spell, you really are training yourself how to use intent.
Yes.
And how to let energy flow. You're training yourself when you do that.
And you're also training yourself to have faith and trust, which a lot of people don't have, period, with anybody or even themselves, because you have to have the faith that it's going to work, and you have to trust that it's going to work out the way, you know, that it's your highest good.
You know, you can't say that enough. Everybody's highest good. You just can't say that enough. Mm-hmm. Because we have to get out of our own way, for one thing, whether we pray, meditate, cast spells, whatever. We have to get out of our own way. And having faith in what we're doing, I think, is 50% of the battle, whatever battle you've chosen.
It is, because when we're little, you know, we have all the faith in the world. You know, there's Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy. And, you know, we have faith in those things. And we don't question them. But as we get older, you know, obviously we're programmed that those things don't exist. And then we're programmed that, you know, faith is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, faith, you know, can be fear-based. You know, if you don't believe in this, then this is what's going to happen to you. So steer your faith this way. Different things. But, yeah.
When you start to teach someone, what is the first thing you tell them, or a class, what's one of the first things you tell them about magic?
That magic doesn't work like it did in Charmed or Harry Potter.
I love it.
Because believe it or not, a lot of people have that misconception, you know, that Hollywood has made, that that's what happens. You know, that's like, you know, someone going after their soulmate and thinking they're going to find their one soulmate, their one true love, and living happily ever after without any problems. It doesn't work that way. So that's the first thing I tell people, is it's not a fixer. It gives you a leg up.
Does it give you opportunity?
Yes.
Present an opportunity to be taken advantage of? And I mean that in a positive way.
It can. Yes, it can. I believe it presents the opportunity to open doors.
We just have to be able to see the door.
Yes. That's something else I try to teach people, is you've got to keep your eyes and ears open. Because since magic is not, you know, Harry Potter, you're not going to see this transformation go poof, you know, and that's that. Little subtle hints are going to come your way that it's working. And you have to pay attention to those subtle hints in order to act on them. So, there you go.
How long do you think it takes? No, let me rephrase that. Are some people more naturally gifted towards manifesting via magic or other things, more gifted than others?
Well, I think we're all gifted in being able to do that. But I do think that some people are more gifted than others based on their past lives, based on what their soul has already been through, what your soul has been conditioned to. And
you don't have to remember it, obviously, folks.
No,
it's
no.
It's there.
The soul knows everything. It's a wondrous memory box. And you'll notice that, you know, things happen unconsciously, and things just happen that you want to manifest. And since I was little, I remember, I can't remember who, oh, I was this old carnival. That's what I was at, a carnival. And, you know, the whole gypsy lady behind the crystal ball, how you
yeah.
see. And I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And much to my parents' dismay, I said I had to go to the bathroom, and I snuck in because I wanted to talk to this lady. And that's one of the things she told me, is that I had the power of manifestation, and I had to be very, very careful of where I put my thoughts. Because whatever I would dwell upon was going to happen. And the only person I would have to blame was myself.
Yeah. Oh, okay, let's rephrase. Let's say that again.
Sure.
Whatever you would blow upon?
Whatever I would dwell.
Dwell upon, okay.
I don't think I'm blowing.
I heard blow, and I couldn't get. Okay, where do we go from here?
Where we go?
Okay.
Where are we taking that at?
Yeah. Okay, so whatever you dwell upon.
Whatever I would dwell on would come to pass.
It's kind of the old thing about be careful what you wish for.
And I tell people that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Be so careful because, you know, if you are one of those ones who manifest easier than others, you know, you manifest it, you think about something, and poof. You know, it's there maybe in a month or two, not, you know, instantly. Instantly, I would have Harrison Ford in my bedroom, but I'm not going to get that.
Oh, really? Not a bad choice.
Well, yeah. American Graffiti. I've been in lust with him, I think, since I was like 9.
You know, I saw that for the first time in about the last 2 weeks or so.
The first time?
I had never seen it.
That's a classic.
I know. It was a classic. I got to see it. I'm telling people a little bit about my personal life here. I have a friend who has a motorcycle, and I'm a motorcycle mama from way back. And he invited me to go to this outdoors drive-in movie at one of the motorcycle shops not too far from here. And they have this huge compound, and they show movies once a month on the back of the building. And generally, they have something to do with motorcycles. They can be comedies or otherwise. But enough people had asked for American Graffiti that they showed it. It was a hoot. There were about 200 people there on bikes and in trucks. It was a hoot, and the movie was wonderful.
It was. Yeah. It's the one. And I remember seeing Harris. I remember seeing the cowboy. First, I saw the cars. I thought they were cool. And then I remember seeing the guy in the hat, the cowboy hat. And I remember, you know, being 9 and thinking, ooh, he's cute.
He's cute. He was cute. He's still cute.
He's still cute. So if my manifesting powers could work that fast, he'd be here.
Archangel Michael.
Yes.
He would be somebody I would want to sit down and have tea with.
He would be a great person, great angel to chat with.
Yeah, and well, any of the angels, but for some reason, that one just has, since I was a kid. You know, I know the other angels. I know their functions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have images of them, but for some reason, he's my tea buddy. I would want to sit down and talk to him for about 100 years.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Just think how much he knows.
Oh, I don't think we could ever get I don't think we could ever get everything he knows.
Well,
jeez.
Luckily for us, souls are, you know, infinite.
Yes.
So we have infinity to find out.
Do you include your magic work in your monthly newsletter, Numeroscope?
The Numeroscope?
Numeroscope.
The Numeroscope is for numerology.
Period. Okay.
Numerology and then, you know, the few odds and ends, but yeah, basically numerology.
Do you write anywhere at all about how to use magic, and other than your books, of course, like in a newsletter form or blog or anything?
I do have the Gypsy Magic blog where I put different spells and incense and some other concoctions or recipes that I formulate.
Do you create your own?
Yes.
All right.
So that it usually happens 3 times a week. That I put new stuff up there, but I'm on a screenplay deadline, so.
Ooh, tell us about the screenplay.
Getting,
can you?
Getting a bit behind schedule. Well, the current one that I'm rewriting, I think for the 85th time or so, it feels like it, is called The Black Triangle, and it's about the Gypsies and the Holocaust in the concentration camp.
Oh, that I'm familiar with.
And you know, I wasn't familiar at all with the Gypsies in the concentration camps until I started diving into more of my ancestry probably about 15 years ago. And when I did that, because it wasn't taught in high school. I mean, we had an overview of the Holocaust, but that was it. I was speechless with the different things I was reading. I couldn't believe, you know, I couldn't believe anyways what was done then. But and then adding the different experiments that were also done on the Gypsies that I didn't read about anyplace else. Just, you know, made my skin crawl.
He didn't like the Jewish people, but he was scared to death of Gypsies.
Mengel?
He was scared to death of them.
Yeah, he was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrified, and you know, he was trying to figure out what made them tick.
Mm-hmm. How they did their thing.
Yeah, how they did their thing,
mm-hmm.
which is why he did so many different experiments on not only the adults but the children. And that's why they had the Gypsy Family Camp at, I can never say the name of the camp, Auschwitz?
Auschwitz,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why they had the Gypsy Family Camp, and they kept families together in the same barracks. They let, in that camp, they let the Gypsies wear their own clothes that they brought into with them instead of having to put on the striped concoctions that everybody else had to wear. But they were constantly under a microscope, always being studied.
Have you been to the Holocaust Museum in New York?
In New York or D.C.?
New York.
No, no, I haven't.
They have a special section. I was just there June or July of this year. They have a special section there for talking about the Gypsies, how the Gypsies were treated.
Okay.
Tons and tons of pictures. I went to I will eventually hit all of the Holocaust museums because I'm looking for a series of pictures that I know were taken at a particular time. And so I spent probably 3 hours looking very carefully at
mm-hmm.
pictures. So I was in every single corner of that building. And I learned a lot more. I knew about the Gypsies and the Holocaust, but not as much as was available to know.
Yeah. Once you start digging and different things you can find, I have a book here from the, I'm going to say it wrong again, Auschwitz Museum.
Auschwitz, yes.
Museum. And,
mm-hmm.
And it deals a lot with the Gypsy Family Camp. And
you can go online, and you probably already have, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures,
oh.
the Holocaust pictures, available online.
I know, and there's
mm-hmm.
there's one picture of this girl, this child, in this book. And when I'm rewriting the script, and I get very emotional as I'm writing it because of all the research I've done, and, you know, I know what's happening, what's going to happen to the characters, each of them, and I get very emotional. A lot of times I'm crying as I'm working on this script, and I want to stop and just say the heck with it and move on to something else. I go in this book and I look for that girl's picture because she died there, and her cute little face looking back at me. I said, okay, for you, I'm going back.
Mm-hmm.
I go back and I write and I start writing again. But yeah,
those stories have to be written.
They have to be. Oh, I know. And that's something my guides have been telling me for quite some time. And with telling about the Gypsy Family Camp, I've also intertwined a love story in there. Love story set in the concentration camp, and people can get a glimpse of what happened. If I put everything in that happened, you know, all the horrors, it would probably be X.
Your editor would I don't know. People are getting by with a whole lot of horror these days. Reality, it is what it is. It was what it was.
They are, but they. So many things were done to children. That,
I know.
You know, I shouldn't say they can handle seeing things done to adults because you can't. But the things that happened to the children, I had to temper it back quite a bit. So. But that is what I'm working on. I've got a TV show sitting at a network now. They're looking at it, and I have a children's show heading off to another network that hopefully will look at it. So, hey, you never know.
I just got Fox. Are you sending anything to Fox?
Yes.
Good, 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 good. That may be who responds.
That'll work.
It's good. A little bit of psychic work going on there, folks. See, worldwide out there, you could have some psychic work done tonight if you would call in on 877-489-6350 in the United States and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. This is Elaine Ireland. You're going global for spirit with me. And tonight, Allie Feast on our Magic Hour. Although we've wandered away a little bit about magic, but magic is, you know, we hear that word tossed around so much. It was a little bit of magic in the air. It was such a magical experience. And And I think people think like the Harry Potter thing, which I think is wonderful, by the way. I wish we could all do a little bit of his magic.
Oh, me too.
But we're not going to be able to point a wand realistically and repair somebody's glasses automatically, but we can magically make the money appear to have them repaired, right?
There you go.
See?
Yeah.
It all works with a little bit of magic. Tell me what you think of covens. Do you think they still exist, and are they still practicing in covens? That's more the negative side of witchcraft, right?
Well, no. There are good covens out there and bad covens, just like everything else. Yeah, there are covens usually deal with witchcraft, and there are plenty of them out there. I know several different people and several different covens and over the United States, and
Are they still pretty much generation to generation?
No, not so much anymore.
Okay.
It's the gathering of like minds.
Is it still as prevalent as it was, say, 50 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Houston used to be full of the black arts. That word, the black arts, kind of encompasses the types of magic and hellodonics and such that that Allie is not talking about tonight.
No, I'm definitely not. But, like everything else, just realize that there are people out there with good covens, too, who do good work with their energy.
Yeah, there's a group out in Bastrop that's very active alongside, believe it or not, a druid organization. They work a lot, doing a lot of good spiritual work. They bring down a lot of world peace kind of efforts and that sort of thing. It seems like those two groups are constantly doing something under a full moon. And, they're not going to advertise it in the newspaper, but word gets around.
Well, hopefully they'll do something for the election.
Wouldn't surprise me. Do you want to go there tonight? Do you want to talk election? I'll leave it up to you.
Oh, we can. Did you watch the vice president debate at all this evening?
I had to. I'm a guest in at a friend of mine's in. I think we have a caller. Do we have a caller? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Who is this?
You know, I called last week and. Said something about angels, and it was right at the end, and you said that you made me promise I'd call back.
Yes. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
And what's happened?
Oh, well, the skin thing is kind of on hold, really. I mean, I'm just continuing what I've been doing. I don't know how it's going to manifest what you said about new things coming.
Well, ask Allie. Ask Allie what she thinks. She's a very good psychic. Allie, what is your first name again?
Kimberly.
Kimberly. Ask Allie.
What's happening, Kimberly?
Well, I am trying to get rid of a skin condition I've had for over a year.
Is it itchy? Is it blotchy? Is it
itchy?
Itchy.
Yeah, and I think that, I come by this honestly in that, my biological father had all kinds of skin problems and probably died from the medications that he had all those years ago, and they were pretty strong and hard on the body and system. But,
What do you think, Allie? Psychically, what are we doing here? What are we dealing with here? What direction can she go? Mm-hmm. What new direction?
Have you tried flower essence at all?
What?
Flower essence.
Flower essence?
Flower essence.
Like,
no, I haven't.
Like flowers that you smell, flower essence.
But
it's
the essence of the flower that you put some drops in water and you drink it, and it helps your energy body.
Sounds nice.
What would she use, Allie? Where would she go to find the appropriate?
There's this wonderful, wonderful flower essence company called Green Hope Farms, and I believe they're out of New Hampshire.
What was that name?
Green Hope Farms.
Green Hope Farm.
Yes, and if you go to the website, type it in Google, go to their website. The owner, whose name for some reason escaped me at the second time, will help you pick out the right flower essence for you. All you need to do is email her and tell her your situation. They are so helpful at that place. I love them.
Sounds wonderful.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. And I had to tickle. It won't go away.
Bless your heart. Water for Allie.
I have water. It's not working.
Uh-oh.
Water cough drops the whole nine yards.
Bless
your
heart.
What this usually means, though, is that the person I'm talking to, which would be Kimberly, needs to be more expressive about what she wants and needs in her life.
Mm.
Things are like it's getting caught in your throat, so to speak.
Mm.
So you just need to put it out there more. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're not comfortable displaying your feelings or whatever you want to communicate to somebody, if you don't want to tell them, then at least write it down. Just get it out of your system. Because that's why I had the tickle. It didn't happen until you showed up. So, which means that's what it is.
What else, Kimberly? How can we help you else other than that? I'm so glad you called in. Thank you for keeping in touch.
I brought up angels, and I wasn't really sure why, but I know that I would like to make more connection, and I didn't know if there's anything you could tell me about that.
Allie?
Well, the simplest way I found to talk to angels or guides, to talk to them the same way, is just sit down in a quiet spot and just say, guardian angels and spirit guides, I would like to talk with you about, and then state a situation or a problem, whatever it is you want to talk to them, and they'll be right there. You want to speak something to them, and then be silent for a moment so you can hear the answer that they're going to give you. It's going to be the first thing that pops into your head. It usually sounds like your own voice.
Yeah.
But that's their answer to you. And you don't want to ask the same question twice to see if you get the same answer. Because even though angels are very heavenly and around for love and protection and healing, but they kind of get perturbed if you ask them the same question twice, and guys definitely get perturbed. So, ask them the question, and make sure you write down the answers as soon as you get it. As time goes on and you get used to, grabbing that first answer that comes into your head, you can ask more complex questions that they will give you longer answers to. But at first, just keep it short and simple to the point, like yes-nos would be great. And then, after maybe a couple days of doing that, then branch out to longer questions for longer answers.
Try it, Kimberly, and let us know how it works for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Promise? There's that promise again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly, for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Where were we, Allie?
See, my cough is gone.
You could call her choked up, right?
Wait, that's what happens when all of a sudden an energy, shows up that they're not speaking their mind. Something's holding them back from communicating to somebody. And I just get that tickle because there's like something caught in my throat. Strange, but I usually been pretty right about that, so.
Before I forget it, you have projects out there in the wind.
Yes.
Be sure and give me a call. Even if I have another guest on some evening, call and say, this is Allie and guess what's happened and I want to share it with the world.
I will do that.
We're going to have you back. I have you scheduled, believe it or not, for June the 12th for a sex talk next year.
Yeah, you do, don't you? Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, because I think that was the first time you're about to get super, super busy. And then again in August the 28th of next year for dream travel, soulmates, animals, and environment. That's going to be a busy one. But June the 12th, our sex talk. So by then, June the 12th, your book will be finished.
Definitely.
And out. And you'll have feedback on your projects that are sitting out there.
I hope to have feedback on the projects by the end of before the Thanksgiving break.
Oh, then by all means, give me a call, send me an email, something. If I don't sign on, Sweet Seth is going to whisper in my ear in a minute, and I'm going to have to sign off. So I have to thank you for being with us again and looking forward to hearing from you again soon. Next week, Elka, for those folks out there that have been waiting now for a year,
Elka's going to be with us. She's a wonderful rune reader. We've had to reschedule her like four times now, talking about the Nordic festival called Winter Night. So please, by all means, join us next week. Put it on your calendar for June the 12th of next year for Allie to come back and join us. And, folks, by all means, don't forget to share a smile with somebody this week. Allie, that includes you, but I know you will.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Take care. Good night, Allie.